From NPR and WBUR, I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now. In a few minutes, we're going to have a deep look at Muslim women and veiling. Is it oppressive? Progressive? Well, both and more.
But first to the White House, and specifically that area in front of the gate on Pennsylvania Avenue, which Americans have been able to walk through without going through security for years, but that may not be the case for much longer. The U.S. Secret Service considering screening visitors after a 42-year-old Iraq War veteran hopped the White House fence on Friday and made it all the way into the White House before being stopped. He had a knife with him, although President Obama had left the White House minutes earlier. The event has been a major embarrassment for the Secret Service. Here's New York Republican Congressman Peter King speaking on Fox News Sunday.
This is the most basic, the most simple type of procedure, and how anyone, especially in these days of ISIS, and we're concerned about terrorist attacks, someone could actually get into the White House without being stopped is inexcusable.
Let's take a closer look now at the White House security with Ronald Kessler, author of The First Family Detail, Secret Service Agents Reveal the Hidden Lives of Presidents. He's with us via Skype. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
And how should this have gone if the Secret Service had done what they were supposed to do once this man jumped the fence? What should have happened?
Well, first, they should have unleashed dogs to take him down. And secondly, the Secret Service has wide latitude under court rulings to use deadly force because you simply can't take a chance. You can't wait to see if this guy had an explosive or WMD or a weapon. And so if they didn't get the dogs on him soon enough, and I think they were just asleep or not paying attention or bored, then they should have shot him.
Well, and the other thing that is surprising to people is that the door was open, that he could go in the door of the White House. Was there a procedure that wasn't followed there in terms of locking the doors?
No, these doors have never been locked, and that's a tribute to the arrogance of the Secret Service. They have the attitude, we're the great Secret Service, we can take care of any eventuality, so we don't have to lock the doors. On top of everything else, there's very poor morale, there's a lot of turnover. But the larger problem is the Secret Service management has this culture of we make do with less, we have all these layers of protection, we don't have to worry about some of these things. And so you have corner cutting, such as letting people into events without magnetometer or metal detection screening. We've seen these visible scandals, the Salahis penetrating the White House as party crashers. And then you had the agents hiring prostitutes. I think in that case, they thought, you know, management takes risks, cuts corners. Why shouldn't we do whatever we want to do?
And by the way, the Secret Service has said that the location of Gonzalez's arrest is unacceptable, but that the officers showed tremendous restraint and discipline in dealing with the subject. There are going to be a lot of people, Ron Kessler, who hear what you're saying, though, and are hearing about possible plans to have metal detectors at the entrance to Pennsylvania Avenue, so you can't even walk in front of the White House as you can now without going through security, and think that that's overdoing it, that this is the people's house and people should be able to walk right in front of that gate and take a look.
Well, we can have the people's house, but we're going to have a dead president. You know, there's just no two ways about it. And now the president has all kinds of ways of communicating with American people. He's on TV all the time. He has Twitter. There are all kinds of ways to communicate with the president. And it's just ridiculous to think that, you know, you have to expose him to a possible assassination on the grounds that, oh, one or two people might be able to see him. And the Secret Service statement is just ridiculous, saying that they showed restraint and discipline. That is just another example of Secret Service arrogance, that they think they can get away with making a statement like that. I have very high-level FBI sources, and they're laughing at that statement because, obviously, this was a failure by the Secret Service. And if the president had been taken out, you can be sure they wouldn't be saying that it was admirable that they showed restraint.
You've now mentioned a few times arrogance at the Secret Service. Why do you believe that they're arrogant?
Well, it's a very secretive agency. It's even more secretive than the FBI and the CIA. They have a strong esprit de corps. The agents are very dedicated. They'll actually take a bullet for the president. And it's always hard to, you know, explain how arrogance can be created, but it has to do with the lack of accountability. They think they can do and say whatever they want.
So do you think that Pennsylvania Avenue should be closed off to pedestrians, or that they should have to go through security to get in front of the White House?
Absolutely. You know, we go through security to get in airplanes. You could have 10 or 20 terrorists converge on the White House with grenades. In this day and age with ISIL targeting America, they would love to take out the president. We simply cannot take that chance.
That's Ronald Kessler, author of The First Family Detail, Secret Service Agents Reveal the Hidden Lives of Presidents. Ron, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. My pleasure.